The music in Game of Thrones is almost just as much a character in the show as our favorites like Jon, Arya, or Daenerys. And there's one podcast out there giving you in-depth analysis of Ramin's score every week, Matt's Audio Blog. Matt Murdick has been podcasting for 10 years about the music on some of your favorite TV shows like Lost, Doctor Who, and especially Game of Thrones. He founded Podcast Winterfell in 2012 specifically for that purpose. But now with the new Matt's Audio Blog, you get analysis of both story and music. You can find all back episodes as well as social media and contact links at mattsaudioblog.com with two T's, mattsaudioblog.com. It's available on any app you're listening to. Just search Game of Thrones, Matt's Audio Blog, and join in the fun. Once again, that is mattsaudioblog.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right After Thrones. Matt Dats, Tim Curry here reacting live after the episode. It is 10:12 p.m. Eastern here. We are having a lot of discussion about this episode before we even got going here. First of all, Curry, welcome back. We're in the shoot here.
Yeah, I'm so pumped to be here after that episode. I loved it.
You loved it. A lot of different reactions.
Perfect for what it had to be, but I'm excited to get here and break it down with you.
Awesome. So, as always, follow along on Twitter right after GOT. We're tweeting out a bunch of stuff, polls, questions, things like that, including instant reaction. But as we always do, we normally start with the title of the episode. Second week in a row, no title.
No title. Again, we'll probably get one in the coming days.
Yep. Check out for the reaction pod. This is instant reaction, but check out for the analysis.
So we'll probably get a title after the fact, but right now, we got nothing. So
let's roll. All right, so episode 2, season 8, 4 to go after this. Let's get it underway here. Where do you want to start?
So let's just start with instant reaction to the episode,
yes.
And then we'll talk about the big picture of the episode as a whole, and then the future implications, because there are some big ones.
Big ones, very much so.
But as I was saying, my reaction to the episode as a whole, I loved it. I thought, you know, we knew coming into this that episode 3 was going to be the big one. We've known that for weeks because of the length, because of
the director,
the battle director. Like, we know that's week 3 is the battle, and now we know for sure. But since last week was kind of an introduction, really setting the table, a welcome back, you know, reintroducing you to the storylines and the characters, I think this episode was, it did everything it had to do. It set the table for next week. It brought up a lot of reunions and emotional, it really tugged at the heartstrings with a lot of the emotional
callbacks.
Reunions. A lot of callbacks. And it was a feel-good episode. It made you feel good, but it's also like there's impending doom. Like,
yeah,
a lot of these characters that you're seeing together, you're not going to see them together again.
Absolutely.
So I think that was a big thing, and I think that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, it was definitely pulling at the heartstrings for sure. I think the pushback is we waited 2 years for this, for the people. So let's just go to the polls right now. And responses are flying in. Tweets are flying in. We're loving it right after GOT. We always do amazing, great, good, average, poor, disappointed. It's only 7% disappointed, 26% saying good or average, not special, though. Then the highest, 44, great, high-quality Game of Thrones, and then 23, an amazing, one of the best. We have some tweets that came in saying this is one of the best-written episodes ever, extremely satisfying episode.
Yeah,
kind of in that category.
I'm in the category of, you know, one of the best, and I think a lot of that is because watching it for the first time, the way it's, these emotions aren't going to come back every time, I don't think.
No.
So I think on rewatches, it won't quite have the same effect.
Yeah, it's not on the top,
you know,
of the rewatch
You watch
list.
Hard Home again, you get pumped every time Jon kills a White Walker.
Yeah.
You watch Battle of the Bastards for a second time, every time, you know, it gives you, you know, that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know if it'll have the same effect, but I'm really feeling it.
I can see it on your face. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. Like you said, we're not going to, in 82 minutes, 82-minute episodes. So last week, 54. This week, 58. Next week, 82. Longest of the series. Big time. So we're queuing up for next week. And in 82 minutes of screen time, we're probably not going to see a lot of these people. I don't know if we say a lot, but a good amount of these people. Especially, even we're getting to specific scenes a little bit, but just like the ones that really hit on, like sitting around the fire, these are sweet spot characters that we've talked about going into the season. These are not vital to the series, but you know, vital.
They're not end game characters.
Exactly, exactly.
But you love them. You've known them for so long.
They've got the
backstory. And they are vulnerable.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that there was a lot of moments which we'll discuss where, you know, characters had really nice scenes, really nice moments, and they kind of signed off on their scenes with like a nice heartwarming line where it was like,
damn,
you're a dead man walking right now.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I can say, you know, off the top of my head, Grey Worm.
Yes.
Jorah. Oh my God. Sam says to Jorah, you know, I hope I see you again. Something like that.
Yeah,
like, are you kidding me? You're going to say that before the battle? Like,
brutal.
Oh God.
Brutal.
There was some other ones I took notes on, so we'll get to that. But man, it was, there was just a lot of that. A lot of, I don't think I'm going to see his character again.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see who we do see again. But what do you want to go down? I mean, that's obviously instant reaction.
So let's just go from the top. So we open up right away on Jaime's trial. And during our preview episode, we really thought that this was going to be like a main point in the episode. And they got it out of the way quickly.
And this was like, I wrote it down in my notes, like Pace. Like, oh, Pace is back.
Pace was back to begin
with.
Like,
it's no bullshit. It's like no brand, no anything. It's like, boom, trial. Let's roll. I'm like, holy, all right, we're back. Because they go right to it.
So we have, you know, Daenerys is not happy at all. And I mean, no one is, rightfully so. And we get Bran with the big quote that we were hoping for.
I know, we talked about
it. You know, the things we do for love. And I love that Bran didn't, like we said in our prediction episode, like Bran didn't mention Jaime pushing him out the window to anyone. But by saying that, it was just, you know, like a hat tip, a wink to Jaime, like, hey,
I can storm out. Yeah,
exactly. I got you. I know what's going on.
I love it. No one questions it, though, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just Bran doing the brand.
You really can't question anything Bran says. You just kind of take it with a grain of salt.
You
like,
just smile and nod.
All right, Bran. Yep. So, you know, everyone's saying, especially Daenerys, you know, I can't trust you. You've destroyed both our families, you know, the Starks and the Lannister and the Targaryens. But Brienne steps up for him.
For sure.
And that was huge. Huge for Brienne and for Sansa as well. And really everyone, Daenerys and Jon, to trust Sansa, who trusts Brienne. Like, just showing that the three of them are working together, as opposed to in the past where, you know, last episode, where they were kind of opposing each other. They were questioning each other in front of the people. So I think it was big to see that the three of them were fairly on the same page.
Yeah, and I think, just get a little macro here. You know, it's like almost like the completion of like that story arc. I mean, we got the more of the completion later, but it's like, all right, this is like Brienne was always like protecting the Stark girls, and then she had her time with Jaime, and like this is like the accumulation of all that time that we spent with those plots. Here it is, right here. Jaime, boom, he's okay because of it.
Yes.
And because Brienne's word is good to Sansa and all that.
So it was big for Brienne to get that respect from Sansa. It was big from Sansa to get that respect from both Jon and Daenerys.
Yeah.
One of the things that Jaime said that kind of stuck out in my mind, obviously, is he told everyone about Cersei's plot, about they have the Golden Company, they have the men.
Yeah.
When this is over, they will have the forces to compete in a battle with
survive,
you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be tough. So that's something they didn't know before, and you know, so that's a big part that Jaime let them in on.
Yeah.
Obviously, they have bigger things to worry about with the Night King, but something that's good that they know that.
It's always useful to think about, like, because we see everything, or we see everything we know, but not all the characters have, like, are playing with it on the same. We talked about this with, like, the knowledge of the undead. You know, Jaime has this knowledge, but, you know, they don't know it, and now he gives it to him.
Exactly, exactly.
This was a tough scene for Tyrion. Thought it might bode very poorly for him.
Tough scene for Tyrion, and that's what it rolls right into that next, is Tyrion talking with Daenerys, and he is on the hot seat. And
oh, man.
She tells him that, says, you know, I might have to make someone else my hand if you're,
and even before that, when he steps up, he says, I know my brother, and she comes back like, you knew your sister. Like,
clearly you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So
and she says, either you knew she lied or you're a fool.
Yeah.
And he says, I was a fool.
Yeah.
And we said that last season when there was that scene with Tyrion and Cersei where we don't know what happened.
Off screen, yeah.
So he says that he didn't know. It's still, I mean, I think he's genuine, but
yeah,
there was,
I mean,
still
off-scene
conversation. We don't
know
what happened.
It's sketchy. Later in the episode, we'll get to, he talks with Jaime, though, and he's really talking up Danny. That's why I felt like...
The thing with Tyrion is he's on such a cold streak with advising Daenerys.
He needs a slump buster bad.
He does.
I think he might get one, though.
And the thing with Tyrion is that's kind of his identity. That's who he is. He's the mind.
The mind
guy. Jorah says that. Daenerys says that later.
Yeah.
But in this moment, you know, he's on this serious cold streak. He hasn't been advising her with good decisions. And that's who he is. So if he can't do this, if she takes away his title, his hand, and he's just a guy, he's just a half man. Like,
he's a smoky smoke.
Yeah. So, like, this is like his value as a person in the show. So with him on this cold streak, I put in my notes, like, man, if she tosses him to the side, huge, like, he could betray her instantly.
Yeah.
But
you know,
further in the episode, we
change
see
his
that,
mind.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So
all good. Yes. So then just moving on here, Gendry, little
Gendry and Arya, and you know, we saw what happened later in the episode, but the tension, the anticipation, it was
building.
I don't want to say obvious, but it was building to the climax later in the episode.
Yeah. The one interesting thing I see is, like, I saw this a little bit last episode, didn't really mention it, but it's like they have these big boxes of dragon glass. So it seems like they just, like, took all the dragon glass and, like, shipped it.
Yeah, the mining operation was very successful.
It was off screen, but it was successful as sin. So I just want to note that.
So I mean, Arya's checking out Gendry, who's, you know, banging steel, banging dragon glass.
He's looking all steamy.
He's got the muscular chest popping out. He's looking good. There's a lot of chemistry there, you know. And then
she asked about the undead army. Though.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. And everyone's playing on the same playing field in terms of knowledge. So she wants to know, which I appreciate.
She wants to know, and he's not giving her anything. He's like, you know, look, I fought them. They're death. Like, that's what it is.
I fought a few.
And she's like, I want to know how to kill them. I want to know
what they smell like.
Yeah, I want to know how they fight, and he just doesn't really have anything for her. Then she starts throwing the spearheads. Like,
yeah,
that was badass.
Yeah.
She's, you know, while she's in the middle of her monologue about, you know, I know death. That was a badass moment from Arya. Good episode for Arya.
Very good episode, and we'll get to later why it might have been even better than that. Tyrion and Jaime. Oh, wait, no.
Jaime and Bran
is
the next reunion we get.
A lot of reunions.
So Jaime and Bran. Jaime, he's in a tough situation here, especially after Bran referenced the quote, because he knows that Bran knows.
And this is the Bran tree scene.
Bran's at the Godswood. Yeah, we thought maybe he would be, visioning, but he wasn't.
This is where the reunion goes down.
So, yeah, so Jaime apologizes to him, and Bran is just like, you weren't sorry then, you know, you had to, but, you know, you had, this is where Bran gets all kind of three-eyed raveny, where he says, you know, you had to, otherwise I'd still be Bran Stark.
Yeah.
And we talked about this in the preview episode, that this was probably the way Bran was going to play it, whereas,
yep,
you know, it was like his destiny, it was Jaime's destiny to push Bran, it was Bran's destiny to become three-eyed raven. So
yep,
without that, he's not three-eyed raven. So he had to do that, and he's not upset about it.
Yeah.
You know?
This is might be my one qualm with these episodes and still, like, the Bran plotline. It's not even Bran himself, but it's just like, we kind of like laugh it off, like it's kind of awkward when he's like, I'm like the three-eyed raven or like anything like that. But like in reality, Jaime should be like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you saying? Like, what do you mean you're not Bran Stark anymore? You're someone else. Like, there's none of that push. We kind of just say like, oh, Bran's being a weirdo. So that's just gonna only like, it's tough to, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Bran is such a power, such an asset for the North, for the living.
Yeah.
And they really need to make sure they take advantage of him. And they do later,
yeah,
during the battle planning. But Bran finishes off his scene with Jaime. He just says, how do you know there isn't afterwards?
Yeah.
And that was kind of ominous. Maybe some evil
Bran
foreshadowing. Yeah, some Branness, you know?
Yeah, or maybe there's just not an afterwards for Jaime.
Yeah, or for Jaime, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's also a big
very thing. Likely. Somewhat likely.
Before we get, we're going to head off and talk about Jaime's other reunion. But first, we need to take a quick break. For those of you listening live, we'll be back in 30 seconds.
All right, all good here. Back at it right after Thrones here. Matt Dats, Tim Curry. We are at 10:25 p.m. Eastern, wrapping up the episode. We are tweeting live at right after GOT. Follow along. Check it out. A lot of reaction coming in. Tweets are flying in. Boys are wheeling. We love it. Who had the best episode? Who had the worst episode? All good. So picking up where we just were, we had Bran, Jaime, reunion, and then we get some brotherly love in the middle of Winterfell.
Yeah, so we get a reunion I'm sure we're all looking forward to, Tyrion and Jaime. So Tyrion and Jaime, they've had a pretty solid relationship throughout the series.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, Tyrion killing Tywin kind of iced that, kind of made it a little bit of a tougher relationship. But, you know, this is the first time they're together since last season, since the Dragon
mm-hmm.
Pit. when they were kind of the ones who organized that whole accord. And so they're back again. They're back in Winterfell, and it's not a warm reception for either of them, really. The Northerners spit either at them or, you know, not in their presence. Not very cool. And Tyrion, he admits that, you know, he's underestimated Cersei. He's believed her, which, you know, that's a mistake that he's learned. And the big takeaway from this scene is, one, she hasn't lied about the baby, according to Jaime.
Yeah.
So the baby's real.
He's in the know.
It wasn't a lie. And two is just, it was kind of a callback to Tyrion's trial a little bit, where he says to Jaime, you know, oh, I always imagined I would die, you know, 80 years old with a belly full of wine and all that. And, you know, Jaime finishes the quote. So that was a callback to Tyrion's trial when he was in chains. He was in prison. And Jaime asked, you know, is this how you thought you would die?
Yeah.
So that was a cool moment. And Jaime, Tyrion calls out Jaime. He says, look, you always knew what she was, referring to Cersei.
She never fooled you.
Yeah. You knew what she was and you loved her anyway. So this really shows how far Jaime has come somewhat, but still he knew what he was doing, so it's not like
it's just kind of how shitty he was.
Yeah
like,
exactly.
Like, because even if you do it, Jaime's like been on this great arc, for sure, but like doing a rewatch in the off season, it's like he was just such a douche before. Like,
yeah,
I mean, not just pushing the brand out, but with Catelyn Stark, you know, some talking smack with her. Like, he was just, they had him so far out there, and this is kind of just like a callback. Like, you know, you were never always this guy, this valiant guy.
Yeah, but now that he has left Cersei for good, hopefully, he is almost like completely completed his character arc.
Absolutely. Spinning along here, let's keep on rolling.
So next we get a reunion of Jaime and Brienne. They actually get to talk other than the trial, and some cool visuals that we see before this. We see there's dragonglass spikes kind of up on the on the battle mounts, so that's a smart defense
going,
mechanism. They got some traps, digging trenches with like a trapdoor drawbridge type thing.
Yeah.
You know, trenches with spikes.
You can see the vast tents that are set up, like, I'm assuming Dothraki Unsullied, chilling out there. They're just tented up. Like, we forget, you know, because we're getting this centralized character, forget the actual amount of bodies they got lined up for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the largest, greatest army in the world, apparently. And we see Podrick is training, and he looks good.
It
looks like Brienne has got him shaped up, which
is
cool.
Jaime says he's come a long way.
So I saw that happen, and my note was, Pod looks good, please don't die. Because that was right away, I was like, oh, like he's definitely a character that could die. He's pretty much meaningless to the end game, but we love him because he's just a lovable character.
Exactly. Love Pod for sure.
And we get more Pod later.
Absolutely.
So Jaime and Brienne are watching Pod. You know, they have some good dialogue.
She's pissed he's not insulting her.
And she's pissed he's not insulting her for the first time ever. So that was, it shows that the relationship has changed. It's different. It was, you know, there was some emotion there.
Absolutely.
So we don't get much from that scene other than that, but we get more of Jaime and Brienne later for some real emotional stuff.
Yeah, but the big takeaway is, you know, she's now the commander of the left flank.
Yes.
And now he's, you know,
He wants to serve her.
It's a cheesy line, but he says like he rode north because he would be honored to serve under her command. So interesting nonetheless. Then we get Jorah. We're at major low point for Tyrion here, and Jorah makes a play. I thought Jorah was going to make a play for the position.
Yeah.
Originally, when he comes in, you know, when I left, there was her hand. Blah 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 blah. She says like, you know, don't take offense to it. You weren't here. I didn't know if I'd ever see you again. But then you get even a callback here to how they bonded from Valentis to Meereen, him and Tyrion.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of time together. You say he wouldn't shut his mouth the whole time.
You know, Tyrion was his prisoner, he was his captive, but they still bonded.
Absolutely.
Especially, you know, when they saved each other at the Stonemen.
Yeah, so he makes his vouching on Tyrion's behalf. You know, he's smart. You know, he acknowledges he's on a cold streak, but hey, smartest guy I know, blah, 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 blah. Like, I wouldn't take his spot. She even says like you're advocating for the guy who took your spot. He's like, I know, that's how much he means to me. But then he has one more suggestion for her, which I thought this was what I thought was going to be super big, and it's another one we get cut off with. We'll talk about.
Yeah, they kind of teased a lot of major plot points.
Yeah, tough. So next, you know, Daenerys, Sansa, library. We talked about this in the preview pod. We thought, you know, Danny in the Winterfell library was a good pickup by you. That was the background. We thought maybe a Samwell Tarly talk was going
maybe,
down there.
Maybe, you know, some sort of apology, like, further than what it was originally. But turns out it is a meeting between two of the most powerful women in Westeros.
Yeah.
Sansa and Daenerys. And, you know, Sansa, she respects Daenerys. Daenerys is showing her respect to Sansa. And Daenerys is very straightforward about this. Like, look, I feel like we're at odds. You know, why is that?
And if you're going back to the opening scene, I mean, she kind of just green-lighted Jaime a little bit without, like, it was like Sansa made the call.
And she did. And Daenerys probably could have overruled her, and that would have just caused more.
Yeah. So she kind of gave a little look, and then it was just like, okay, whatever you say. She gives Jon Snow the Warden of the North.
Mm-hmm.
We found out later some more about that. But yeah, that's kind of what it's coming off the backs of that. So it is.
And Daenerys even says, like, oh, I wish I could trust my men the way you trust you trust Brienne.
Yeah.
And then Sansa says, you know, she stands up for Tyrion a little bit. She says, Tyrion is a good, we cut out, are we back?
We're good.
Okay, sorry, I had a listener say we cut out. So, she says that Tyrion is a good man, and Daenerys is like, look, I don't need him to be a good man.
Yeah, I didn't give him his position because he's a good man.
Yeah, so then there was a, she says, you know, he should have never trusted Cersei, and Sansa kind of snaps back, you should have never trusted her either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Sansa said that two episodes in a row now where it was stupid to trust Cersei. She called Tyrion out on it last episode.
Yeah.
She called Daenerys out on it this episode.
She's swinging it.
Yeah.
And we talked about how much she's learned. I mean,
she knows Cersei more than, or just as well as anyone does.
And from her time with Littlefinger, she knows the game almost just as well as anyone does.
Speaking of Littlefinger, just a little aside, no one has discussed anything about Littlefinger being dead.
I know.
I feel like that's something that probably should have been mentioned, like, to Daenerys or Jon or anyone, but whatever.
Minor plot hole?
Well, a little bit. They don't have time for that kind of stuff.
Exactly. But they have time for Podrick songs.
Yeah. So there was a funny line there that I highlighted. Daenerys says, families are complicated. And I'm just like, oh, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Because Jon is, you know, Targaryen and Stark, and he's part of both your families, and it's going to get complicated.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so Jorah's other suggestion of Daenerys and Sansa trying to make up was fairly successful. You know, they're women that rule, they're at odds, and they get down to two of the main things here. One is Jon. You know, Jon loves you. You know, when men are in love, they can be manipulated, they can do stupid things. And, you know, this is Sansa calling out Daenerys, you know, talking about Jon. But then Daenerys kind of...
Great comeback.
Yeah, she says, look, like, all I wanted my whole life was the Iron Throne, but now I'm here fighting Jon's war. So who manipulated who?
Exactly.
So that's a good line.
She also says, I'm here because I love your brother.
And, yeah.
True to his word. She mentions one other man who was taller than Jon.
Yeah, I don't...
I guess like Cal?
I feel like Khal Drogo, that wouldn't be
Khal
Drogo.
Like,
I wasn't sure who she was talking about when she said that to
we'll
be honest.
We'll have to do some analysis. We'll check a midweek analysis pod. We'll be talking about it for sure.
Yeah. But then the biggest takeaway from this scene.
Before it was
kind
of like sister-in-law in it. Like, you know, it's like, you know, you're getting accepted.
Yeah.
She's feeling it out. You know, I want to be part of this going forward.
But then
it gets big time.
It gets serious. It gets down to business where they say, Sansa says, what happens next? After all of this, which, you know, fingers crossed that they make it there.
Exactly.
And Daenerys says, I take the throne. And Sansa says, but what about the North? We took our kingdom back.
Yes.
And we pledge never to kneel for another ruler again. So what about the North? And before Daenerys can respond,
this is such bullshit.
They get interrupted.
Like, this is kind
and
of.
So that was a huge tease because what about the North?
I think it's a simple one, though. I think it's. You know, Sansa rules the North, but she's under Daenerys, and is that too complicated?
It is just because what Sansa says is we took it back and we pledged, you know, never to fight for another ruler. Like, this is the North is its own kingdom now.
Yeah.
So the Seven Kingdoms Daenerys has already said that the Iron Islanders can kind of be their own thing.
Yeah.
If she says that the North can be their own thing, too, she's down two kingdoms. She's down to five.
Five. The Queen of the Five Kingdoms.
Not as impressive.
Not a nice title.
And, you know, in the past, we saw Ned and Robert Baratheon. They were best friends, so they had no problem coexisting. You know, Ned was the Lord of the North, but he was also, you know, he served King Robert.
Exactly.
But the Northerners don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Sansa... Sansa could definitely rule the North, but Daenerys isn't going to just be like, oh, yeah, when this is over, you can rule the North, and I'll just take everything else.
You guys don't answer to me. No, I agree.
Like, there needs to be some sort of agreement between them, some sort of coexistence where it's like, look, I'm king of queen of the Seven Kingdoms... And, you know, Winterfell is like kingdom number 1A or 1B under, you know, mine. Like, there has to be some sort of servitude.
I know. But, I mean, if you're sitting at Danny's, I mean, just playing devil's advocate as Danny, and not, we don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's like, you should be kissing my ring. Like, you know what I'm saying?
A little bit, yeah. And like, Sansa does thank her at the very beginning of the scene. She said, I should have thanked you when you got here.
Yeah, you should have. Well, thank me after when my dragons and my Dothraki and my Unsullied come here and save your life.
Yep.
And then you can bend the knee. So there, I understand both sides of it, but still, it is interesting for sure. But it gets cut off, so it's a little tough. What else we got?
So, yeah, that was a huge scene, and it gets cut off by the arrival of Theon Greyjoy. And he says, I want to fight for Winterfell. You know, and then Sansa hugs him. And, you know, he didn't say he wanted to fight for Daenerys. He said he wanted to fight for Winterfell.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Daenerys kind of takes offense to that, but it just shows a little bit. But it shows that Theon is there for his Stark roots, and that's big for Theon.
Talk about Sansa, the big hug, like them being back together. Talk about, like, a little bit, you know, for those who don't remember, like, why it's big.
So Sansa and Theon, I mean, Theon, obviously, he was raised by Ned Stark as ward.
He was in there. They were like brother and sister.
He raised him as his son, as a brother to Jon and Rob and Sansa and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Theon betrays the Starks. He, you know, claimed that he killed Bran and Rickon, but he didn't actually.
Couldn't find him.
This was back in, like, season two stuff. He goes through a lot. He goes through the whole Ramsay Bolton thing.
Yeah.
He eventually saves Sansa from Ramsay Bolton.
Yes,
he makes the two of them escape together, and, you know, Theon is a huge part in her rescue. So they went through similar torture, you know, different levels, but similar torture from Ramsay.
Yeah, hell.
They've been through a lot, and so, you know, there's some emotional
and
connection
he made a huge
there.
Play for her. So it's like, boom, we're back at it, giving a big bro hug when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
So all good. Yara couldn't come. That this is a little weird. I felt like when he said, like, she couldn't come, she didn't have enough ships to make it here. But last week she said, like, I'm just not going.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weak. Again, we said last week that it was kind of a weak move for Yara we're gonna go back to the Iron Islands.
Like, if she needs us, we'll be there.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's important for them to retake the Iron Islands from Euron, because I guess he left as the leader, so they want to retake their homeland, but. There's more important things.
I know. You know. Where's your sister? She couldn't come. She didn't have enough ships to make here.
So
you're here.
If I was Daenerys, I'd be a little pissed about that.
Yeah, but next thing you know, he's all hugging up on Sansa. He's in. So it's like another one where she kind of gets a little trumped by.
Well, I wouldn't be pissed at Theon, but I'd be pissed at Yara. Like,
no, yeah, I know.
Come, you got to be your Iron Fleet is my fleet. Like, you got to help me in the sea.
What the hell, bro? All right, let's keep pummeling through this.
So there's a cute little moment with Davos and Gilly and a little girl, and this little girl, she has, like, a scar on her face.
Yeah, not grayscale.
So immediately, yeah, not grayscale, but a scar on her face. So that immediately makes you think of Shireen Baratheon.
Oh yeah, it's
and I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure Sir Davos saw it, and, you know, he was like a father to her and like a good friend, and, you know, so he sees that there's a callback, and this little girl, she says that she wants to fight just like her brothers did. And he says, you know, oh, well, the women are going to the crypts. And
smooth move.
And then Gilly says, you know, oh, well, I would be honored if you came and defended the crypts while I'm down there. And she says, you know, I will. I'll come defend the crypts. Adorable. Very cute scene, touching, between two characters who I don't think they've interacted at all, Gilly and Davos. So it's a good scene to see them together.
We have four episodes left, though, and we're spending time on this. So it's tough. Some people are
I'm okay with it. That's what this episode was. You know? It wasn't an action episode, so like you can't be upset that things were in there that weren't action.
Also, quick shout out, no one on Death Watch. Absolutely correct.
Yes.
And we started off the episode, no violence was in the was no violence.
That's true. That's true.
In the I mean, we didn't know that before when the Death Watch came out, but I'm saying there was no violence. You know, there was nothing. And so it just harkens on what you're saying about that was this episode for sure. Keep pummeling here.
So next, we're continuing the reunions, and we have Tormund and Ed. They arrive fresh from Last Hearth.
The boys are back. Boys are real.
Yeah, there's like some uplifting music when Ed gets there, and then Tormund just, you know, that cuts bro, out. Tormund, big bro hug.
I love that.
They say, you know, before the sun comes up tomorrow, the army of the dead will be here.
Got it.
And then we get a, you know, like a montage of the catapult being tested and things being built in defense.
It's go time, baby.
It's go time. John has his speech kind of overlaying this montage.
Tire, blah, 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 blah.
And then it goes right into battle planning. And the big thing from the battle scene.
I love this.
This was good because, again, this was Bran getting down to business.
Bran,
he knows what's important.
I love Bran. I'm on the Bran wagon. It's great.
So first, John says, you know, if we can get to the Night King, then that will probably be our best way to kill them. And Bran says, you know, he'll come for me. I'll wait for him out in the Godswood. You know, we'll lure him out here.
Yeah. Because Jaime says, and this is just such an awesome scene. I think it's just the people around the table. This is like, it all came to this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is the fighting for the good, fighting for the living. Everyone's here. Jaime says, like, if that's the case, he'll never expose himself. And Bran, the Bran wagon's right there.
And then Bran, now this was one of the biggest takeaways from the episode, possibly the biggest. Bran says, the Night King will come for me. He's tried before with many three-eyed ravens. And he says he wants an endless night. He wants to erase this world and its memory, which Bran is the memory of the world right now. So,
like, it's deep.
We've always wondered, what is the Night King's motivation? Is it, you know, is it to get little baby Sam because he was promised to him?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, I read something that said there was a dragon underneath Winterfell and the Night King wants to release it. Like, there's some crazy stuff out there. And now we know that the Night King, he kind of just wants to watch the world burn. But in order to do that, or, you know, theoretically burn, freeze, whatever. But the way he wants to do that is to kill Bran, because Bran holds the memories of the world.
Yeah. And, like, the pushback, I think, on this, and I'll just throw it up to you, it's like kind of like, as a casual observer, right? Like, it's like, Bran says, like, he touched me, he came after me before. I have this mark on my arm from him, from the Night King. Like, no, like we spend, and we're talking about how, like, you know, people are saying this was such a filler episode, such a setup episode, but I feel like they could just dive in a little more beyond the surface. I'm like the brand, because it is like the whole thing.
I'll give you that because there were so many reunions with so many characters, they didn't really get below surface level for a lot of these things. So
Brand, I was touched by the Night King, and he's around every major character in the show, and we don't spend more than 40 seconds on it.
Yeah, I mean, no one is like, no one hits pause, no one says time out and says, wait, the Night King touched you? Like,
what?
Explain? Like,
No, let's knight Brienne of Tarth. For 4 minutes on screen.
That was a good scene.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's the pushback. This is the end game here.
I agree. All right.
This is the end game. But we're hushing it away, but it's like, what the hell?
So, yeah, so Bran is still marked, and the Night King knows where he is at all times, and he's going to wait in the Godswood. And then we get another good, strong moment from Theon. Theon says, I'll defend you, me and the Iron Fleet. And that was another note where I wrote, you know, oh, dead man walking, because he's putting himself in harm, you know, purposely.
Valiantly.
And two, you know, this would kind of complete his art. And he says that. He says, you know, I took Winterfell from you once, and now let me defend it for you. Something like that. So.
Exactly. So, but I mean, like, even John says, like, that's not enough. Like, we need a dragon down there. We need, like, Theon. Like, you know, like, what is Theon doing down there?
Yeah, good point. Theon, like, you're not the greatest warrior. Like, let's actually have some defense around Bran.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be the guy poking holes and everything, but, like, what hasn't got brought up since Epi 1 is dragon, ice dragon, Viserion is alive.
Yes.
What the hell's going on?
I took a note probably right after this. Yeah, right after this scene where... They talk about, you know, does Dragonfire do anything to the White Walkers? Bran says no one's ever tried.
I have all caps here. No one's talking about Dragon.
Yeah, and then the last thing, Tormund says, you know, at least we'll die together. And right there I wrote, no one mentioned the Night King's dragon. Like, I feel like that's, obviously, you know, Night King is enemy number one, but if he has a dragon, that's his, his ace in the hole. That's his weapon.
And like, I'm going to be pissed next week if, like, they almost are, like, surprised that he has a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if it's like, oh my God, everyone's like, oh my God, he has a dragon. It's like, no, this was disseminated first minutes, opening minutes of season 8. This should be discussed. I hope it's not like that.
And then the other thing is, no one mentioned that they have to protect their dragons at all costs.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no dragon in the planning at all. There's no dragon talk.
Yeah.
Like, is Jon mounting a dragon? It
would make sense for Jon and Daenerys to mount the dragons, but also Jon will probably be out in the field. But, you know, we saw once that the Night King just threw a hose.
Yeah,
you know, he javelined one of the dragons, and that dragon went down. You know, good night. So
good night.
If he does that again with one or both dragons, it's over. Like, that's not good. So I feel like they should probably have that in mind, that the Night King can kill our dragons pretty easily. Like, we got to be careful.
Other minor plot holes, like, the Night King will come to kill Bran. Like, who's executing this battle plan where the guy in the wheelchair has to be killed by the you know, like, is Bran indestructible? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little.
Well, no, I mean, that's just kind of what Bran says, and it's the first time we've really heard it, is that, you know, this is how he gets the long night, the forever night, is by killing the three-eyed raven. So,
yeah, I guess it has to be.
He's tried before, Bran knows, so.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be the Night King himself coming to, you know, the Godswood, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So that's what you mean by plot hole, is that it has to be the Night King?
Yeah, like, wow, all right, send four horsemen down there.
Yeah, because, like, what if Yeah, I was like, what if Bran just dies, like, somehow?
Yeah.
Like, is the Night King, where does he go? Does he just kill everyone? Like,
I don't know. It's the whole thing.
So after this, we have everyone leaves and Bran and Tyrion stick around. And this was a nice callback to the episode in season 1, Cripples, Bastards, and Broken Things.
Yes.
Where Tyrion, you know, he makes the saddle for Bran.
Yes.
So, you know, he basically, it's just a tribute to that, to the relationship in the past. And Tyrion says, you know, I'd like to hear your story.
It's off screen.
It's a long story, but, you know, I'd like to hear it.
It's off screen. And I think this is just a major setup here with Cold Streak Tyrion talking to most important character probably in the show. Biggest, whatever. Off screen, Tyrion is, this sets up for a Tyrion comeback, I feel like.
It does, yeah.
Whatever he got from this talk, I think comes up again.
Yeah, I mean, the brain trust of Westeros has been, or lately has been, Bran and Sam with his Citadel books, and now Bran is kind of peeling back some layers and letting Tyrion in on it. So
yeah, I think it sets up for a slump buster for Tyrion, for sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So after that, again, here we have Missandei and Grey Worm. They have one of their two kind of touching moments that spell death for Grey Worm in next episode.
Yeah.
So we see that the Northerners, you know, two Northern girls, little girls, kind of shun Missandei. They're, like, afraid of her.
Yeah.
And obviously there's, you know, racism at play here.
Yeah.
There's no African black people.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to be politically incorrect, but, like, they're not African on the show, but they're dark skinned, they're black. And so they don't have, the North is just all white people.
Yeah.
So they're visibly uncomfortable. We saw last episode when Grey Worm and Missandei rode in, everyone was kind of giving them looks, and, you know, Missandei's uncomfortable and Grey Worm is uncomfortable when he sees that. So he says,
like,
we don't
want to be here, man.
Yeah. He says, there's no future for us here. When this is all over, you know, what do you want to do? She says, I would love to go back to Noth. That's the island of Noth. That's her home. So he says, you know, I'll take you there when this is all over. Dead man walking. That sentence right there. Saying, you know, making future plans,
not
like together, like romantic, not a good idea.
No.
That's trouble for him.
Absolutely spells death, like you
said.
And
then, you know, later we see that they kiss, touching scene before battle. He is absolutely on death watch for next week.
Absolutely. Then, if I say one word, everyone gets fired up. Ghost.
Ghost.
Let's go.
We get a ghost sighting the first time in... Did we even see him at all last season? I don't know. So. It's the first ghost sighting in a long time.
He was on there for like 4 seconds.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything, but he's there, so that's cool. And it's kind of...
We'll see him next week.
We get a reunion between the three brothers of the Night's Watch.
Only three left.
Ghost was also kind of like a co-brother of the Night's Watch, yes. So I think it was good to have him up there.
The canine out of the Night's Watch, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was useful. And Sam and John, he hasn't told her yet. Sam's like, you know, be careful, blah, blah, blah. And then,
yeah, Sam, relax, dude. They're going to be here tomorrow. Like, yeah, just come on, bro.
More important things.
Exactly. He should know that.
And then, you know, Ed says, you know, now our watch begins. Call back to their time as brothers of the Night's Watch. You know, they talk about their fallen brothers, their friends. Now they're the last ones left. Good banter between Sam and Ed about how, you know, Sam the Slayer. He's killed Thens and White Walkers. And
exactly.
He's laid with women, and Ed hasn't done that stuff. So yes. Good moment, good banter. And John here tells Sam to go to the crypt because you're not a fighter and you're more important down there. So.
Yeah, he's not feeling it.
So that scene was just, you know, another good reunion. Yeah. Possibly, most likely, I would say, a final scene between three friends. You know, Ed is absolutely a character who's not important.
Sweet spot guy. We got a lot of sweet spot. Just real quick, Tyrion did get that vote of confidence talking about crypts. Hey, bro, you're going to the crypts. You're not fighting, Danny says.
Yes.
So that's just another... She's got him still ranked up pretty high.
Yeah, so...
Necessity.
So now Sam and Tyrion are both going to be in the crypts because they're more important.
Sam's thinking he's going to fight, though.
He wants to, but, you know.
You think he crypts up?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you think so?
Well, okay. He gives a sword to Jorah at the end, so he's going to the crypts. Especially with Gilly, little Sam.
He kind of walked away. Yeah, you're right. Cool.
So our next scene...
Then it's just like, the show just kind of stops after... Like,
yes. So this was like 40 minutes in, maybe a little less than that, and I'm like, you know, I'm really nervous. I'm like, oh man, like everyone's saying their goodbyes, everyone's having these moments, you know, and then we get this big scene that lasts a while, and it cuts back, we get Jaime and Tyrion just kind of hanging out.
I wish Father was here.
Yeah, and then Pod and Brienne roll up. And,
sweet spot characters, yeah. I mean, besides the two Lannisters.
And, you know, Tyrion pours Pod a huge cup of wine. Like, that was funny. Good moment between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, Davos and Tormund join. They're warming up. Could be our last night. Tormund's kind of, you know, making eyes at Brienne.
Love it.
She's not having it.
Love it.
Tormund, this has nothing to do with the future of the show or the episode itself, but this moment with Tormund was incredible. Like,
it was awesome.
This was peak Tormund.
All time.
Tells this story about, you know, why his name's Giant's Bane. He's like, you know, he's kind of trying to intimidate Jaime while also bragging to Brienne. Yeah. Like, oh my God, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was vulgar. It was pure peak Tormund.
It was clean.
And then he finishes it off with just this disgusting, you know, dribbling chug of, I assume, is sour goat's milk. That's what he drank before Battle of the Bastards.
Love it.
Out of this huge horn. Like, oh my God. And Tormund absolutely on Death Watch. And I think having this incredible scene,
yes,
is like his, you know,
Tormund.
That's it.
Tormund,
that's,
out. Yeah. Mic drop.
Yeah. Like, how can he... Like, we don't need you anymore, Tormund. This is it. Like, sign your name right there.
Yeah.
End of scene.
He didn't seal the deal with Bran, but he got some great, 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 great banter for sure.
Great line. That was an amazing story.
Reunions continue. Arya and the Hound, they're boozing. I guess everyone just boozes the night before, you know? It's like a big party.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Like, I know. And this, we get Arya the Hound, we get some more. It's just kind of like... Rivalries are aside now. It's like, this is the end game right here.
Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier, how a lot of things that happened in the past don't matter anymore.
They don't.
You know, because now it's the living and the dead, and this could be our last night, so everything else doesn't matter.
Doesn't,
you know,
matter.
Forget it.
Seven seasons kind of out the window.
And that's kind of how Arya is with Beric. He says, you know, he apologizes for the way they parted and says, you know... Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't matter now.
Yeah, she's like,
you know, Arya and the Hound have a nice moment where she's like questioning how he got there. You haven't fought for anyone but yourself. And he's like, you know, I fought for you, didn't I? So, yeah.
Hey, now.
That was a good reply from them.
I like it.
Beric
starts to get a little Lord of Lighty. And,
a little Lord of Lighty. Hound cuts him off and says, yeah, we don't need this.
Yeah, we don't need this. So, Lord of Light still hasn't got too much buzz. No Red Woman in here yet either.
And then finally, Arya starts to leave and says, I'm not spending my final hours with you two.
Yeah.
Which right there, I wrote Gendry question mark, because who else would she want to spend her final hours with? So she's down there. She's shooting arrows. Gendry's watching, brings her her weapon, and
he brings another weapon.
she questions him about, you know, the Red Woman, what happened. He says, you know, I'm Robert's bastard.
That was just a huge disseminate of information.
It was, yeah, because not many people knew that.
No.
Arya didn't know that. Then they start talking about sex, your first time, how many, three, blah, blah, blah.
Whoa.
And she just says, yeah, like, at this point, like, once she brought up, like, sex, it's like, all right, it's going down here.
It's game over, for sure.
So, and this was, we talked about this earlier, this was kind of a big female empowerment episode.
It was all over the place.
I'm going to say that, you know, Arya taking control of her sexual ability, like, that's a female empowerment thing. Like, she says, I want to know what it's like for the first time. I want to know what it's like before I die.
It might be our last night.
Yeah. So Arya has sex with Gendry. Like, that was huge for her, huge for him. Like, we're a sex positive podcast. So, and this is another callback back to season one, where Robert Baratheon says to Ned Stark,
yes,
you have a daughter, I have a son, we'll wed our houses. So obviously they're not wed, but, you know, Sansa and Joffrey never got together. Joffrey wasn't his son. This is his true bastard son with a Stark. Like, good moment. Good moment.
Somewhere in heaven, Ned and Robert are
smiling,
giving a bro hug.
I hope. All right, so from this, we get back to the large group of Brienne, Tyrion, that whole group.
Kumbaya
on fire, yeah.
I'm calling them the Kumbaya crew, dude.
All right, so Brienne's like, you know, at least we'll die with honor. And then Tyrion, he's kind of making light of the moment. He says, you know what? I think we're going to live. He starts reading off everyone's stats,
their
accomplishments.
This is big. I like this
part. This was good. And
these are all war stories, vets.
You know, Ser Davos survived Blackwater and this and this and that.
Where Tyrion was trying to kill him.
Yeah, and Jaime, he's the hero of Pike, and, you know, and Jaime's like, well, I lost it, you know, Whispering Wood. And,
yeah,
you know, so it's a good moment, you know, just swapping stories, bonding. And then Tormund kind of makes a play here. He says, you know, wait, like, Brienne's not a sir? Like, she's not a knight?
Hey, what the hell?
And
F tradition, bro.
Yeah, fuck tradition.
This is anti-pace, by the way. We started
this
with
was,
this.
Yeah.
This is so anti-pace.
So from this, it leads to Jaime's like, you know what? Like, you don't have to be knighted by a king or by a lord.
You said, because Norman says, when I'm king.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if I was king. But no, he's like, F it, bro.
He says, you know what? Like, a fellow knight can knight you. So
let's do it.
So
let's dance.
Yeah, let's do it. And this was emotional. This was a touching moment. I mean, it's not like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it was a good moment. It was emotional. And Jaime, he knights Brienne. She rises as a knight, Ser Brienne of Tarth. She's got tears in her eyes. She's got an awkward smile. Everyone,
awkward smile.
Very, very awkward smile. Everyone claps.
Everyone claps.
But that was a the most emotional, the most touching moment, because it's two characters that they've clearly had a relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
It's had its ups and downs, but there's always been something there, some chemistry. And now that there's just this feeling of respect between the two of them, you know, the relationship, it may never be a romantic relationship.
Platonic is sin, for sure.
But, I mean, there's been sparks. But
I know.
But this was just the ultimate sign of respect and friendship.
Possibly. Over, under, 0.5. Brienne and Jaime alive after
Brienne and Jaime.
Yeah. One of them alive at the end of next episode.
No, absolutely one of them is dying next episode.
Are both of them dying next episode? Would you rather?
I think Brienne lives, but I think Jaime's gonna die next episode.
Got it. So you could say over with one of them being alive. Got it.
Yeah.
Good.
But
enough.
I would say Brienne's gonna live, Jaime's gonna die, but I would hedge by saying, you know, one of them's gonna die.
Yeah.
So.
Got it. Good, interesting for sure.
All right. So as we're wrapping up here,
and we'll get to your tweets right after GOT. Keep flying in, loving it for sure.
So as we're wrapping up the episode recap, rundown, reaction here, we have a couple more touching moments or you know, reunions, tributes. We get Lyanna and Jorah. So it's the first time we've seen them together, and they are cousins.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people kind of forget.
Jorah Mormont.
Jorah Mormont, Lady Lyanna Mormont. Jorah says, you know, you're the future of the house.
Get the hell in the crypts.
You know, you got to go in the crypts. And she's, you know, she's standing up for herself as a Bear Islander, as a Mormont, as a lady.
Another female empowerment, for sure.
She says, yeah, more female empowerment. She says, absolutely. You know, I won't hide. I want to fight. Like, I pledge that I would fight, and I will honor that pledge. So
it's so awkward. There's like a 60-year age.
Yeah,
age,
yeah.
And he's trying to tell
her. But she stands up for herself, and he says, you know, Lady Mormont, yeah, like, as you wish or whatever. So good for her. She's going to fight regardless of what Jorah says.
Is she alive at her in the 82 minutes?
See, like, that scene I don't think was as much of, like, a, you know, signing your death. As a send-off as others. So I think she'll survive. Also, you know.
Yeah, where's she going to be? The front lines?
Yeah, like, I think they'll kind of keep her back. She's 10 years old. She's absolutely a liability, so.
And plus, she's the head of her house, so it's like.
I don't think he can kill her. I don't know.
No on-screen death, I think. I don't think for.
We haven't hid that, you know, certain scenes we're not big fans of her, but she serves her purpose, and she's.
Exactly.
You know, so I don't think she's going to die, but we'll see.
Heartsbane.
This is another big, you know, send-off scene. Sam gives Jorah his sword, Valyrian steel.
Stole from his dad, who he found out was dead.
Says, you know, your father, who was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch when Sam and Jon and all those guys were there.
Yes.
Says, your father, you know, kind of raised me. Taught me how to be a man. And that's everyone throughout the series, you know, the Night's Watch brothers, they all, other than the mutineers, they all respected J.R. Mormont. They all knew that he was a good leader. You know, Jon was his steward instead of a ranger, but it paid off in the end. Like,
yes.
He was a good man. And, you know, Jon, earlier last season, he wanted to give Jorah the sword back. He wanted to give him Longclaw because that's what J.R. gave that sword to Jon.
He took the bear off. He put the
Put the wolf on it. Yeah.
Wolf on, sorry.
But Jorah says, you know, I don't want it. Well, here now, it's kind of the reverse, where Sam says, look, I'm not going to be in battle. I can't hold the sword.
I can't even get it up.
Yeah. And he gives the sword to Jorah and says, you know, I'll see you when it's through. That, I feel like that was such a signing your death certificate line. I hope to see you when it's through. Like, Jorah, absolutely death watch for next week. I don't think he's going to make it.
Oh, that would be tough. Danny would not take that well, for sure.
No.
Then we get the American Idol pod father.
Pod's got pipes. He can sing.
He's a straight baritone. I don't even know what that. I don't know what baritone is, but I feel like that's so pod.
So pod can sing. Like, Tyrion asks, he goes around the circle, and no one offers a song, and pod just whips this song out of nowhere, just golden pipes, and it was good. And while he's singing, we get the overlay, the montage. We get, you know, Sansa and Theon having a moment. Side note, I really hope they're not a couple, but Sansa and Theon.
Yeah, that was.
We get Arya and Gendry together, Sam, Gilly, Little Sam, Grey Worm, Missandei, you know.
It's montage.
Montage of these, you know, final scenes with people, and a lot of them are not going to see each other again. Then lastly, we have this is basically the last scene, last important scene before, you know, the bells are alarmed. The sound is alarmed. Bells are sound. Whatever.
Yeah.
John and Danny in the crypts.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're in front of Lyanna Stark's statue.
Son of a gun.
She comes up to him and just says, you know, like, who is that?
Innocently.
Who is that? And it's like, John pauses, like, you know, inside I'm like, oh, my God, it's my mom. It's my mom. Like, this is my mother.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it's Lyanna Stark. And then, of course, it kind of sets into her that, oh, shit, like, Rhaegar raped her and killed
her.
Yeah,
that's the whole
story. Started Robert's Rebellion. And she kind of levels with him, like, look, like, my brother was a good man.
I heard all these good things about him.
Yeah, he had all these good things. People loved him.
This is her brother.
Like, yeah. Exactly. Like, this is, like, her idol. You know? She barely knew him. She was a child. But, like, all she's heard is these great things about him.
He's got one flaw.
except for one flaw is that he kidnapped and raped Lyanna Stark. And John kind of quietly, he pauses, he hesitates, lets the moment kind of set in, and just says, you know, but he didn't. He loved her, and he reveals the big secret that.
Yeah.
And I love the way he revealed it. Like, he didn't come out and say it. He told the story first.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, if you could tell by her face, it seemed like she put the connection together before he ultimately said it, is that, you know, she had a son raised by Ned Stark because Robert would have killed any Targaryens, and, you know, they were married, blah, 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 and my real name's Aegon Targaryen.
Holy.
And she is shook. She's stunned.
She just takes a
bit. She's in denial, like rightfully so. She's like, you know, it can't be true. How do you know? And he says, you know, Sam and Bran.
First he says Bran.
Yeah, Bran and Sam. And she's just like, all right, your brother and your best friend.
Bran's
like,
solid.
Questionable. Like, she's very...
I love that she's questionable. More people should be questionable.
More people should. And she says, you know, the only people who know this are your brother and your best friend. And
interesting.
In my mind, I took a note here. I said, Howland Reed knows. He is the only other living man who knows this because he was there with Ned.
Howland.
So, are we going to see him? I don't know. I would say definitely not next episode in the war, but after everything is settled, if Jon Daenerys are still kind of conflicting over this, over
expert witness,
over
Howland
the truth,
Reed,
yeah, he's the eyewitness, so he could come in.
Mary Reed, don't forget.
Big if true. She says that if this is true, you're the last male Targaryen. You have a claim to the throne. If this is true. You have a claim to the throne. And it's a better claim than hers.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the...
Cut off.
Yeah, cut off. The horn sound. White Walkers are out there.
Horsemen.
And we have a huge episode next week.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, as much as my instant reaction was, this was almost a bit of a nothing burger. We've done just 40 plus minutes of recap because there was a lot that went down for sure. So let's get to the tweets. Where do you want to go next here?
So, yeah, we'll run down some feedback that we've gotten, some nominees. So as always, we ask you for nominees for Goat of the Week and Woat of the Week. So we'll run through a couple of them, and we'll name our final four for each at the end. But some nominees right now, just as an update, we've got nominees from Matty Ice MC, Goat, Brienne, Arya/Gendry, George, Amy. Like, this, there was a lot of goats this episode, I think. Like, a lot of people were kind of their best version of themselves. They had great episodes. Woat, the only kind of people who didn't have great episodes, Daenerys, she learned about Jon, didn't take it well from what we saw. Again, this is still Matty Ice, says Sansa because she refused to see the bigger picture. I don't think she's woat worthy, although I guess not many were this episode, but... You know, she has respect from Daenerys, and that was big for her.
Absolutely.
I think Brienne is a serious GOAT candidate for this episode. You know, she was knighted by Jaime. They said, you know, fuck tradition, and you know, a woman can be a knight, especially Brienne. Like, if anyone deserves it, it's her.
Yeah, if Jaime could be GOAT, I mean, it was spared. You know, and then made that play knighting her for sure. A lot of goats. We'll put down the final before we wrap up for sure. Looking for some instant reaction. Trying to see some more good instant reactions. Once again, no one was on Death Watch. No one died. Arya getting a lot of goat for sure. Got her mans and her weapon. Brienne, she's far more of a knight than any man there. She finally had her dream personified. Whoa, just a brutal episode for Dany. She gets owned by Sansa in a matter of seconds. And finds out that her boyfriend is her nephew. Sheesh. That's from Will B. Jannar tweeting in. Appreciate that.
We got a GOAT nominee from Rob Eager. GOAT nominee, Tormund. And like we said, this is peak Tormund. He was phenomenal in the scene. It's not a very big picture, but I mean, this is as good as it really gets for Tormund, aside from, like, you know, hooking up with Brienne.
Got it. We got Marley Burkhart. Tweeting in saying, twice this episode, Dany shows what she cares about most, the Iron Throne, when she's speaking to Sansa and when she's speaking to Jon. So people get a little bit of pushback from her with her scene with Sansa, as well as her kind of like, I mean, it is a weird Jon dropping this bomb, you know, like 2 a.m. right before the battle. So I understand why she's questioning it, but it's she's not exactly like, hey, like, Jon, if that's true, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we're all fighting for, you know, we're all fighting tomorrow for what's the biggest thing.
So we'll get back to some more when we wrap up towards the end. But next, we have a new segment we're going to talk about briefly. So first, I want to tell you about our sponsor for this segment. So we have an exciting new offer for our listeners. Ball Street Trading is a new gaming company that offers live trading for sports, but they're also huge Game of Thrones fans and wanted to use their exchange for the final season. So Ball Street Trading is offering a real-time prediction game for Game of Thrones fans to predict who will sit on the Iron Throne. Buy the living and sell the dead as you watch the show live. So the game is just like the stock market where you get to buy and sell shares of characters. It's all in real time, so you can make your picks anytime, change them during the episode, whenever you want. So we signed up and started trading before episode one, and I have to admit, it's actually very easy to figure out, and it's a little bit addicting. So, I mean, can you imagine if something like this was around during the Red Wedding or Ned Stark's death or like Jon Snow dying, coming back to life? I would have loved to buy shares of him at that all-time low. So it's totally free to play, and they're giving away free money to the top 20% of people who sign up and trade. So I actually played and won free money during the NCAA championship game, the very first time I played Ball Street. So it's easy to play. It's simple. You need to get into this contest, because with our help, listen to our show, you guys can win some free money. So you can even compete against us at Right After GOT on the Ball Street trading app. So there's never been anything like this, and Game of Thrones is a perfect place to try it. So download the Ball Street Trading app on your smartphone or check out the link in the show notes to play. So with that, let's discuss some odds. So basically the whole game is about who's going to end up on the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
So there's 10 characters right now to choose from, and we're just going to give you a rundown of you know, who we think is going to end up on the Iron Throne. And, you know, how these characters' odds kind of stack up.
Especially after this episode.
So at the very bottom is Jaime Lannister, which I agree with. I sold all my Jaime shares. I do not think he has a shot at the Iron Throne at all. I don't think he wants it.
No. And I think he might be dead the next 82 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably going to be dead the next 82
Second to last is Cersei. She's currently on the Iron Throne. You can't underestimate her, but... again, I can't see this series wrapping up with Cersei winning.
That being said, it is Game of Thrones, and you know, we don't always get what we want. We've seen a lot happen with people that we want to, you know, Ned Stark. It hasn't always, you know, played into our heartstrings. Maybe it will in the end, but if you're one of those people that thinks, hey, you know, we don't get what we want all the time on Game of Thrones, maybe Cersei is there at the end for sure. Where are we at bottom? Third to last here, Curry.
Third to last, we have Tyrion Lannister. And, look, I sold off all my Tyrion shares. Maybe I shouldn't have, because he is the Hand of the Queen.
Yes.
If, you know, things go down and you know, Daenerys, Jon, if a lot of people die, like, Tyrion could be a good ruler. He could end up on the Iron Throne, I think.
And you could trade these things live episodes. So, if after the first 10 minutes, you're probably selling tonight, you're probably selling all your Tyrion. But then you see he gets votes of confidence from Jorah. He gets votes of confidence from Sansa. He gets... then another vote of confidence from the Queen. Danny's saying, hey, you're going to the crypts, my man. You are not you're not risking your life out there. We need you. So he trended way back up later in the episode for sure.
Absolutely. So after Tyrion, we have Sansa. Now, I have a lot of Sansa shares. I think she is similar to Tyrion, but has a better claim because she's Lady Winterfell. I think, you know, if things happen to Jon Daenerys, that Sansa would be a good ruler and would have a good shot. Although, as we saw tonight, she might be content to just rule the North and not the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
After Sansa, next up is Gendry. I don't really understand this one. I haven't sold off my shares, but I don't think Gendry has any sort of claim or shot, because he was, you know, Robert the Usurper's bastard, and Daenerys and Jon now totally dismiss Robert as, you know, ever really having a claim.
Yeah. That being said, he did make a nice play tonight.
Yeah, hey, good episode for Gendry.
For sure.
So, coming down to the top five, fifth is the Night King. I feel like he should be a little higher.
Night King?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I firmly believe that, you know, the good guys are going to win in the end, or at least the living are going to win, because I don't think the story the show was here to tell was about the Night King winning, something like that. But yeah. He got, in the Vegas odds, you know, preseason, he was kind of a favorite, so I thought he would be a little higher, but he's not.
Got it.
Next up is Arya. She's fourth. Again, I don't think this is Arya's motivation, something she would want. She seems to be content to be, you know, this faceless assassin, this kind of badass girl.
Yeah, I can see her leading the army of the
Yeah, living. I could see her being like, you know, Queen's Guard, King's Guard, that kind of thing. Not really a ruler herself. So the final three, and looks like we've gotten some movement on the markets, and that's what, you know, at Ball Street Trading app, that's they're telling us the markets have moved for Jon and Daenerys. So third is Daenerys.
Three hole.
Yes.
Really?
And she's, you know, now that I'm reading this, I might have done it out of order, but she, I think third is Bran. Yeah, third's Bran.
Okay, cool.
And Gendry's actually fourth. Whatever. All right.
It's moving. It's
the market. Yeah, the markets are moving on me. So we have Bran in third. And again, I don't think his motivation is to rule the Iron Throne, to rule the kingdom, sit on the throne.
That being said, he is
He's so powerful, and people would, I feel like if they saw his true potential, they would be like, hey, you're king. Like,
yeah, and I feel like they're going to do everything they can to protect him, mm-hmm. so other characters can fall. And, I mean, Jon Snow can die. Like, mm-hmm. we found tonight, Bran is, like, the one that can't die. We need Bran. So, that, I'm up in his stock a little bit after that.
So, our final two favorites, leaders for the throne, second is Daenerys. She's at $19 per share versus Jon, $25 per share. So, Jon took the lead there by a pretty significant amount. Especially now that it's revealed that to Daenerys that he has a better claim.
He's got the upper hand.
So, yeah. So, make sure you guys are playing on the Ball Street Trading app. Play against us. We are currently in 110th place, which is not great.
Come on,
but
Curry.
You know what? Hey, it's a long game, all right?
Absolutely.
Business major, investing, long game.
It's
long
a long
game.
Night. It's the long night. It's here. So, let's get back. We're cool with spinning back some of these tweets before we wrap
Absolutely.
Up. Love it. So, yeah, once again, Ball Street Trading app, at Ball Street. Ball Street app on Twitter for sure. Check it out and appreciate all their help and what they're doing. It's fun stuff. A lot of cool tweets, a lot of good banter here. Let's get to them before we wrap up. Once again, midweek, if you're listening, we're going to get an analysis pod. This is just instant reaction. If this is your first time listening, this is live right after Thrones. Follow on Twitter right after GOT. 11:17 now Eastern. So just about an hour after, a little over an hour after the episode ended here, and we are still cranking out some high-quality Right After Thrones. But yeah, midweek we'll have an analysis pod, and we will have a preview pod for episode 3, which will be an absolute beast of an episode. It's all setting up for.
Yeah, I mean, this episode 3, I think, is going to end up being the best episode in the entire series, other than possibly the finale. So up to this point, it's gonna be huge. Longest, 80 minutes.
82,
and it's going to be a huge battle. So the battle episodes have all been phenomenal, and this one should
and
top
people
them
are
all.
Dying,
it should top them all.
It's a matter of who's dying.
It's going to be emotional. There's going to be death and chaos, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We tweeted out, what implications does tonight's Game of Thrones episode have for the rest of the season? And I want to get your quick take on this a little bit, and we'll talk about it more in the analysis pod. And I'll just get some tweets here. Voice by Tom tweets at us. I feel like the Night King is going to abduct, quote, Bran. For what purposes? Not quite sure. Steal his memories? I don't know. I feel like if he gets a chance to take down Bran, which would be absolutely bonkers, wheelchair-bound Bran versus, you know, the most powerful guy in the game, the Night King, I don't know if we'll even get that setting. I hope that the Night King doesn't even get to that close to Bran, but it would be an absolute monster scene. Someone, Johnny Elmer, tweeting in, he thinks Jamie's going to kill the Night King.
Johnny, I'm going to disagree with that.
That's your boy, Johnny?
Yeah. I do not think that Jamie kills the Night King. I don't think that's really his role to play in all this. But someone's got to kill the Night King.
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like it has to be Jon or Daenerys or Bran. I feel like you can't have, I don't know. I guess you could have someone kind of sacrifice themselves and kill the Night King, but I feel like it has to be, at this point, one of the main players, you know, like end game players. I feel like it's not someone like Jaime.
Got it. Danny, dragon? I don't think it goes down via dragon.
Well, he's on a dragon, I assume. So it could be, you know,
that dragon kind of, on dragon.
Like a joust. Falls off the dragon. You know, dragon on dragon type battle. I don't know.
Yeah. Another one. Rowan Abbott tweeting in. Appreciate the tweet-ins here. People know that the Night King can bring the dead back to life, yet they think hiding in one area of Winterfell that houses all the dead Starks is a good idea. Are we getting any of the crypts, the unended Ned Stark or anything like that? I don't think we're getting.
So, yeah, a lot of people speculated that, the Night King can just, you know, raise up the dead that
everybody
are already,
up.
Yeah, he can just raise up the dead that are already there. I don't think that's kind of how it works. I feel like, I mean, they don't explain it, but he doesn't, at Hardhome, he doesn't raise up the dead until after the battle is over.
And it takes him a minute.
And even, like, in the past, you know, last week with Ned Umber was raised significantly, we don't know how much longer, but significantly longer than, you know, after he was killed.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's, like, an instantaneous kind of thing.
Like Jaime Lannister killed, Jaime Lannister up. Like,
yeah, I don't think it's that kind of thing.
No.
And I feel like it probably takes a lot out of him.
It's a power drain.
It's like a power drain. So I feel like he can't do it while he's in battle. He has to do it, you know, kind of while he's well, when the battle has subsided. So I don't think he's going to do it mid battle, and we're going to see, you know, undead Starks rising up in the crypts. I don't think that's going to happen.
Got it. Another tweet here. Miss Spongy Monkey tweeting in saying, lots of our faves are going to die, but the living will ultimately win because, as this episode show, they have so much to live for. And I think she's spot on with many of our faves are going to die. I think we saw the last of many of our faves tonight. I think that's what the purpose of this episode was. I think we'll look back and say at this episode and say, oh my God, yeah, this was like the last, this was the send off for Jorah. This was the send off for X, Y, and Z. But yeah, I think tonight bodes well. I mean, I think the whole thing bodes well for the living.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, that's the story they're telling. I don't think they're telling a story of the end of the living.
Like, I know. Oh my God. Is Danny going, this is from Valerian Siren tweeting in. Oh my God. Is Danny going to acknowledge John, or will she let him die in battle in order to maintain her claim to the throne?
No. I can't see her doing that. Look, she's
Mad Queen.
She said that, you know, she loves him. Obviously, that was before this bomb was dropped on her.
She loves one thing more. That, you know, that,
yeah, but she put that aside to help fight John's war, which, again, it's the war of the living and the dead. Yeah, like, she didn't have a choice, really. But I will say that Daenerys and John in that final scene, John didn't really say anything after she said, you know, you have a stronger claim to the throne than I do. Or she didn't say that, but she said, you have a claim to the throne. John could have said right there, I don't want it. Yeah. Or, you know, I still...
No. Chill. Like, that's not important.
He didn't say that. And maybe he was going to, but he didn't. So that's just something for future episodes after this Battle of the Dead. You know, John could decide that he doesn't want the throne, which that would be very John.
It would be very John. Similar tweet from Joe Peter 17. Will Danny have a second thoughts about saving John if he needs it during the fight? Like, is there going to be any point where...
No.
You don't think?
I don't know if...
Let him die.
I don't think she will have any kind of thoughts. Unless, like, if it were the kind of thing where, like, the Night King is holding Jon hostage and, like, this is it, I don't think she'll have a problem killing them both. Like,
greater good.
That kind of thing. And I think Jon would understand that. But no, I don't think she's going to, like, let Jon die or anything like that because of his claim.
Got it. A couple more here. Love going to the tweets. Love everyone tweeting in. And this is, I love this. This is at Rebel with any tweeting in saying, I'm thinking about Cersei's pregnancy. And this is what we were strictly Winterfell. I mean, this episode should have been named Winterfell because we were all up in Winterfell for sure. But the one thing we did that get tied down to King's Landing is the dissemination from Jaime of Gold Company and Cersei's pregnancy was real.
But that is one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that there was no King's Landing. It was all Winterfell. So yeah. No Cersei, no Gold too? Company. Like, we don't know what happened.
Absolutely. But yet we confirmed that the pregnancy is real. Because we even talked about it. If Cersei's telling the truth, I think this, you know, you can sit there and say, how does Jaime even know it's true? I think this is safe to say with Jaime giving it the A-OK that the pregnancy is totally cool.
So, one thing I want to say, just like to wrap up, to sum up this episode, you know, major theme of female empowerment.
Huge.
You know, we saw it with Sansa, we saw it with Daenerys.
Go through it.
Saw it with Lyanna Mormont, saw it with Arya. Like, there was a lot of strong female, Brienne, obviously, there was a lot of strong female characters in positions of power this episode and using that power. And to contrast that is that the White Walkers, the Night King, he's a man. The White Walkers are all men because they took Craster's sons. So that's just kind of a contrast there. You know, the Army of the Dead is all led by men, whereas Army of the Living is, there's a lot of strong women on their side.
Love it. All good. And good point to point out for sure.
All right. So I think we got a huge week coming up.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have two huge podcasts.
Appetizer.
And I'm not even going to touch the trailer because we're going to touch on that in the preview episode.
Yeah, check out the preview pod.
So let's name our goats and woats, and later in the week we'll get to quotes, and let's name that and wrap up here.
Awesome. So goat.
So let's get four nominees for goat of the week. I think obvious one. Let's say Arya Stark. I think Brienne has to be.
Yes.
So that's two. We could say Jaime.
Jaime Lannister.
For, you know, surviving, for knighting Brienne.
He gets
for,
off.
You know, it was a good episode for Jaime. Could have been worse.
Yeah, he gets back worse. With Tyrion. They're talking. He confirms that, you know, he gives us good information.
Maybe Ser Jorah.
Ser Jorah made a play.
He made a play. He stood up for Tyrion. He suggested Dany meet with Sansa, and then he got the sword from Sam.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lyanna kind of flexed on him a little bit, but I think he had a good episode.
He's going to get flexed on. I mean, Gendry's in there, obviously.
Gendry's in there.
Both.
Tormund was another nominee.
Tormund's backstory, we get that.
Yeah, so honestly, this is going to be tough to narrow down, but check out
the tweet,
the poll, at Right After GOT. We'll get that out as soon as we wrap up here. And how about some nominees for Woad of the Week? Who had bad episodes?
Dany.
Not many.
Dany.
I think for Rich sure. Public
poll. Dany.
I think for sure this was not one of her strongest episodes, and she usually does have strong episodes.
Absolutely.
So, Daenerys.
Anyone else have a poor episode? I don't know.
Not really. I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I would say maybe Sam for being sent to the crypts like a woman, but
yeah.
Not like a woman. We just said female empowerment. There's a lot of strong women fighting, but where the women and children are.
Except for Lady Mormont.
Yes.
Tyrion had a tough episode. In terms of, you know, he did get the vote of confidence later, but he, you know, he got shown that he got fooled by Cersei.
Yeah. This.
Well, we're gonna have to scrounge up.
We're gonna have to scrounge up some votes. So if you have votes in mind, send them in. We'll get that tweet out soon.
Yeah.
And make sure you guys are voting.
Absolutely, we appreciate it. So anything else, Corey?
I'm good. There's just so much to talk about for this upcoming week. So I think for now, we just got to save it for the preview pod and the full on wrap up pod.
Absolutely. So thank you everyone for listening. This has been another edition of Right After Thrones. I just want to get to Burning Man here. One of our devout listeners. He said he's with us. Dany, 100% vote. Arya for goat. Or Ser Brienne. I love the Ser Brienne mention as well. That's fantastic. So, we are wrapping up here Right After Thrones. Matt Datson, Curry, another four to go, man. Four to go. Third of the
so
way
through. So excited. Make sure if you guys are listening live to listen on the podcast and rate, review, subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe. Follow on Twitter, Right After GOT. And midweek analysis pod and preview pod will be coming at you. Two big ones for sure. And next week, 82 minutes, man. It's gonna be fantastic.
You do not want to miss next week.
Absolutely. So for Tim Curry, this is Matt Datz. Thanks for joining us. Right After Thrones.